Whoop, there it is. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you. Come on in. Come on in. Sit down. Have a seat. Come on. I know all of you are waiting. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the JB Font channel. I'm your host, James Fulvers. So, and let's know that JB Font channel is live every Tuesday at 2. I'm also part of the Revolutionary Blackout Network, so you can find me on the JB Show on Sundays at 1, on RBN Live on Tuesdays at 4, and the Savvy and JB Show on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, just to let you guys know, thank you to all the patrons on Patreon as well as members. Yes, I also do memberships here on the channel. So thank you guys so much. And the patrons on Patreon and Ko-fi, thank you so very much as well. Just to let you guys know, I also have patrons on Patreon and Ko-fi, as you guys can see. Things are working a little bit wonky today. Okay, there we go. Also, just to let you guys know, I also want to give a to new patrons. I don't add the new teeth. Thank you so very much. You and your kids. So I appreciate it. And just as you guys know, so available on all major podcast platforms, so also you guys can subscribe there. And just like always, I want to say hello to everybody that's in the chat. So good to see all of you here today on this beautiful afternoon. All right. First, starting off, we have AG coming in with the thumbs up. Thank you so very much. We have Sukudo coming in saying, you're, and yes, you are the first one in. We have Anthony coming in saying, hi, JB and fam. Good to see you, Anthony. All right. Sean Miller coming in saying, you're, and solidarity. Also, good to see you here. Also, we have Cobra Commander coming in saying, you're expecting some lag. You experienced some lag, JB, just FYI. Yeah, unfortunately, it is happening. Unfortunately, things are a little bit slower than I would like to. But we will push through, trying to get things done. That's technology for you. By the way, while I'm mentioning it, Nico also was talking about living in Brazil. He just recently moved to Brazil. And one of the things he was talking about, the internet speed there is so fast. It is lightning fast. And it is cheaper there than it is here. Like, they will literally throttle our internet here just to push us to go more expensive route. But in Brazil? No, fast internet, super fast, faster than ours, easily. This is one of the reasons why I say we need a municipal broadband to be community owned so that it's not for profit. And on top of it, the only expenses that we pay are for maintenance and repairs and operation. Maintenance, operation, repairs, that's all we need to pay for. Because I honestly do believe that because internet is such a vital tool of our society now, it needs to be a non-profit utility. We should not be making profit off of it. That's just my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just a silly socialist. But that's something I was just thinking about. I was like, why do we have internet that lags like it does? Like, they're literally building 6G in China. 6G, and we don't even have fully 5G here. Good Lord, this is just goodness gracious. Also, Roger, good to see you, Roger. says publicly owned and operated broadband infrastructure running UPv6. All my tech guys know what I'm talking. For people like JB, that connection is nervous. Yeah. That's the thing, man. I hate it, you know, and I wish it were faster, but this is what I have right now. And I got Spectrum. Like, who likes Spectrum? For real? Nobody likes Spectrum. Nobody likes AT&T either. Or Comcast, for that matter. We don't like none of them. None of them. And if you're out in rural territory, then you have to depend on satellite internet. And then, yeah. Honestly, we need municipal broadband. Shout out to Ron Placone, because he talks about it all the time. Shout out to Ron Placone on that one. Okay, also, we have Mansa says, every major company is publicly owned and operated. They're a publicly traded company, meaning that the public can own the means of production. If you have the money. See what I mean? If you have the money. See, what I mean is it being owned just outright, you know, as a means of being community owned, like the Tennessee, what is it, the Tennessee Valley Power Company, I think it is. But it's literally owned by the community as a whole. You don't have to buy into it like you do a stock. It's owned by a community just by default. And so this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about publicly traded companies where you actually have to buy in. No, because that's not really publicly owned. You can't really publicly own. It's just open to the public to buy in. See, that's what I'm talking about. But thank you so much for the comment. All right. And also checking in on the Rockfin side, the Ruffin side, and the Rockfin side. No comments yet, but we will get there. All right. So one of the things that I'll be talking about today, and this came across my view a few days ago, and I'm like, you know what? Let's talk about it. So the two stories that I'm going to be talking about today is SGWU forms. Let me take that little thingy down, my little logo. So SGWU forms and mutual aid ideas. So I'm going to be talking about the Stanford Graduate Workers Union forming. And then we're going to go into a mutual aid idea that, you know, I'm trying to also push some ideas out there, you know, so that we can, you know, help push for more mutual aid in our communities. You know, I find these ideas that I find interesting. I'll bring them to you guys as well on this channel. Now, hey, Terry Connolly, good to see you. So what is the Student Graduate Workers Union? Well, the Student Graduate Workers Union is a student faculty workers. You know, you think about students who are also assistants to the professor. And so they're working essentially for the university while still earning the degree. And so one of the things that they do not have or did not have was a union. And Stanford, it being a private university, is not too keen on this. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the tweet that was put out. And this was a recent tweet by More Perfect Union. And I think this is going to add some context to what is going on. And I think this is essentially good news that's coming out so that people can actually know more about what's going on with students at these schools. So It says academic workers are rising up. Roughly 5,000 grad students, workers at Stanford, announced today that they are unionizing with Stanford GWU. They would join the well over 22,000 academic workers who have formed unions in the past year in a remarkable wave. Graduate student workers argue that the university's role as an academic institution, an employer, and a landlord gives administrators control over nearly every aspect of students' lives, stifling individual advocacy efforts. So this is what's going on. And this is a tweet by the Stanford GWUE. It says, today, Stanford graduate workers have announced our intent to unionize. Follow along and join us in solidarity as we fight to make Stanford a fair and safe workplace by giving graduate workers a real voice in our well-being. Stanford workers, because we do. So, this is what's going on at Stanford. And so there was an article that was put out. And let's go to that. All right. Says, this is from the Stanford Daily. It says, Stanford graduate student workers launch unionization campaign. It says, graduate student advocates at Stanford University are publicly launching a campaign to unionize graduate student workers Monday morning in what's shaping up to be a watershed moment for labor relations at Stanford and across higher education. If successful, the collectivization effort would be a complete game changer by giving graduate student workers contractual bargaining power with university administration, according to Catherine Watley, a fourth-year Japanese literature PhD student and Stanford Graduate Workers Union organizer. The potentially transformative move would offer all students who earn money from the university, a group of approximately 5,000 students primarily composed of master's and PhD students, the right to join the nationally affiliated SGWU. The interest in launching a union at Stanford comes amid a rising tide of graduate student union momentum at peer institutions across the country. Following a ruling by the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, in 2016 that enshrined the right of all graduate student employees to organize and collectively bargain with their academic institution, student workers at the six of the top 10 universities in the country have launched unions at their respective schools. The push for incentivized organizational power at Stanford through unionization is rooted in concerns over what organizers see as an inherently asymmetrical power dynamic between graduate student workers and the university. So basically, and this kind of goes into what I talked about, I see as a issue, especially with a lot of higher ed, is that these students who are working and actually providing for the university, it's like, okay, either, here's my thing. It's like, either give them a free ride once they start to work for you or pay them. Because I don't think it's honestly fair that they're working and then on top of it, they don't have a say in, you know, how the university treats them. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. And so my thing is, if they're going to be working, then they need either to have a say as well as in how much they get paid, or you're going to give them a free ride from then on out. It's like one of the two, because they're literally helping to teach your other students. You know what I mean? They're literally helping your school run. So to see and say, nah, we don't need that, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? So that's just something that I feel strongly about. And so, yeah. Thanks, Creative Experiments. And one and a two says, I live next to Stanford and Palo Alto. I could be your local RBN correspondent. Hey, you can email me. I think I have my email in my description as well. So you guys can also reach out as well. But yeah, so that's just a couple thoughts from me. Let's continue. Whatley cited housing as an example of the unique relationship between graduate student workers and administration at Stanford. Because of high-priced housing markets in the Bay Area, students often have no feasible option other than to live on campus. Giving the university a unique amount of power as both landlord and primary employer of graduate student workers. This reminds me of those company towns. You guys ever heard of company towns? Like back then, what a company would do is that they would basically have, it's exactly implied in the name, a company town. And so you buy food from the company, rent directly from the company, your kids go to school, basically with company schools. The corporation owns everything, right? And so this reminds me of company towns and how, well, if you have a problem, it's like your only choice is to go hungry and go home and be homeless. And that's not right, right? And that's, yeah, Raziel the Great says they still have them. Yeah, so that's the problem. And so if people don't have the means to organize, and if you're making it so that they can't organize, then you're really at the mercy of these corporations. And like Sabby Sabs always says that these universities are a business. Their goal is to make money. It's like the fiduciary responsibility is always to make profit. Everything else comes after. And that's how it is with corporations as well as a lot of these higher education schools. Their fiduciary responsibility is to the shareholders or how do they say in collegiate terms, to the, oh my gosh, sorry, I'm forgetting words today. Don't do drugs, kids. But to the people who are basically receiving, you know, money from the colleges as well. So unfortunately, you know, that's one of the biggest issues, you know. And so that being the case, it's never about the actual student. It's never about the community. Endowments. Yeah. Thank you so much, Raziel. So it's that's what it's about. Yeah. And a one and a two says Stanford University is its own town. It seems to have separated from Palo Alto at some point. Thanks for that. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it is. But let's get more deeper into this as well. It says, according to Whatley, this is just one puzzle piece of the larger affordability problem for graduate student workers. A persistent issue Whatley said the university has failed to adequately address. She added that the graduate students had attempted to advocate for change through the means provided by Stanford, such as Graduate Student Council, GSC, but they have just not seen any of those channels have worked. As university spokesperson Stat Holbrook wrote in a statement in the Daily, university works hard to understand and appreciate and be responsive to Stanford graduate students' needs. Bullshit. Quote, to that end, the university has taken a number of actions in recent years, including 12 months of funding each year for at least 5 years, expanded supplemental need-based support, and 100% coverage for the Cardinal Care health insurance premium for doctoral students. With regard to assistantships, it important to note that the minimum assistantship for the 23 to 24 academic year represents a base rate of pay. Many doctoral students receive more. So that's their defense, basically, instead of allowing for unionization. Says, for many graduate student workers, the university plays several roles as PhD students. Individuals are required to earn funding for their studies through research assistantships or teaching assistantships. In exchange, students earn stipends averaging around $13,000 quarterly on their way to a degree. Throughout the process, graduate students also are able to earn recognition by publishing research and academic work under the aegis of Stanford. Still, graduate student workers argue that they are unable to earn an adequate living wage at Stanford, and that the university's role as an academic institution and employer and landlord gives administrators control over nearly every aspect of student lives, stifling individual advocacy efforts. Honestly, a school should not have this much power over a student. It's not right. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, we, people like myself and many of us at RBN, we advocate for unionization because, and it's not just unionization among workers, students, tenants, and the like, because they will always hold this over your head. They'll hold your job over your head. They'll hold your housing over your head. You'll hold your education over your head. And unfortunately, that's what they're doing here. And I hate to see it, but that's the way it is. You know, and, you know, one of the things that I am a huge proponent of as well is worker ownership. Now, students can't necessarily own the schools, but I do think that schools should be public. And we should have tuition free at college levels. People may look at me weird, but I think you should be able to get your doctorate without having to go into debt. If you want to become a doctor, okay, become a doctor. Not everybody wants to become a doctor. Not everybody wants to get their PhD or their MD or their JD. Not everybody wants to do that, but I think that everybody should be available to do that without having to face the barrier of money. I just, like, why is that a bad thing, right? Most schools and universities back then were tuition free or nearly free until Ronald Reagan dragged his ugly ass into the fray. Next thing you know, well, now people have to pay these exorbitant amount of prices, you know, just to get an education. It's not right, and education is a human right in my eyes. And that's honestly how I feel. Like, why is that an issue? And please don't come to me with the whole, oh, I paid, so everybody after me should have to as well. That's just like saying, oh, I had a family member that died of cancer, so your family should have to go through the same thing, even though they came up with a cure for that cancer, and they should be, you know, and people like me think this is a human right that people should be able to be cured of cancer and not have to suffer like your family member did. It's like, come on. Why is this an issue? So, shall we? It says, part of what makes public support of unionization so daunting for Stanford students, and why representatives from the SGWU say their group has worked so furtively towards unionization is the university's track record as a stark opponent of unionization. According to Goode, Stanford has its own willingness to fight tooth and nail against budding union efforts. In 2016, Stanford signed on to a legal challenge against student unionization, arguing that collective bargaining intrudes upon the academic freedom of private universities, and that it could worsen relations between students and administration. How so, though? Because the thing is that, what, that they can't have more control over them? That they can't dominate over them? See, I think here's the problem with what they're thinking, or they think that may be the problem. They're thinking if students are able to unionize at their schools and dictate the terms and how they're able to work, then they'll say, well, if we can do this here, then we can do this at our jobs too. If we can democratize the student worker body, then we can democratize our workplaces too. And is that a bad thing? To somebody like me, absolutely not. It's not a bad thing. To somebody like them, who's their fiduciary role, their fiduciary duty is to profit first, teaching second. Well, of course, they don't want to do that. They don't want to give students more power. They want to give more power to the administration, which tells me everything I need to know about schools like Stanford. Stanford, go to the HBCUs, go to the Ivy Leagues, whatever. They all have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders, I guess. But yeah. So it says last November, 48,000 academic workers across the University of California system went on strike to demand fair compensation, public transit subsidies, and improvements regarding childcare, job security, and other issues. The strike, which ended in December, was the largest among academic workers in U.S. history. At Stanford, the steps that SGWU, your leadership, must take to unionize are set clearly in front of them. Having already affiliated with the National United Electrical Workers Union, the organizers will now seek official support from the student body. While the legal threshold for unionization is only 30%, in order to build an effective union, more than 50% of an eligible graduate student community has to sign onto cards or authorization forms indicating their willingness to join the union. SGWU is aiming higher. According to Whatley, the organizers hope to achieve closer to 65% support as a show of solidarity. So I hope that the people, you know, these graduate students are able to not only form a union, but come together and really show that you just can't dictate to us, you know, everything about our lives, you know, whether it's our work, our, you know, our schooling, and then on top of that, you know, our lives as far as living. I mean, they're basically the landlords, the teachers, and the bosses. And having that much power over these people, especially a lot of these young people, no, that shouldn't be. And so really appreciate, you know, them getting together and trying to do this, because this is something I think that is absolutely necessary. It's just I know that schools like Stanford, they're very powerful, and they're going to fight tooth and nail, like they said, against the students unionizing, even though it's within their legal right. Cobra Commander says, learning without workplace democracy might make the workers not want to continue capitalist mode of production, said one in academia capitalist. Yeah. They're afraid. They're afraid. They want those endowments to keep coming in. They want that money to come in. That's what they want. Raziel the Great says, well, Disney literally has its own city. Yeah, I live in Orlando. Disney definitely does have its own city. Its own, yes, yepper. Disney has its own local government. I think it's called Reedy Creek. So, yeah. Fortunately, well, they're a corporation, so not fortunately for us, but fortunately for them, they actually took all the powers away from the board that Ron DeSantis had initiated for them, since he basically took their right to self-govern away. And so now the board that supposedly is has fealty to Ron DeSantis, they do not have any power. They maneuver things that they don't have power. So Disney still has overall power, even though they're technically under that board. That board has no power. You have no power here, you know, kind of like that. So it's kind of funny the way they do. Hey, yep, it's good to see you, Mickey Louse. That's funny. Cobra Commander says, come on, it's just 2-year unpaid internship. Don't you have a trust fund to live off of while you go to school? Yeah, it's, and plus these schools are extremely expensive, you know, and it's just like what Cobra Commander says, trickle down poverty. It's just sad, you know, they're doing this and they won't allow these students to actually organize and unionize. Thing is that they're doing what is essentially their constitutional right. It's really a right that they have, you know, that has been going around for well over 100 years. But these corporations, they just don't want people to unionize well because they don't want to forego their power. Good water today. I should put some energy in this one. Oh, well. Anywho, Tony Banana says, what do you mean you don't want to work for free to support my professor research? Oh, and by the way, you just reminded me something of Tony Bananas. By the way, thank you for becoming a member. I appreciate it. Clap it up for Tony Bananas. But while we're at it, All student athletes should get a stipend or a wage from whenever they actually play a game. Like, for instance, college basketball, right? No matter what, college basketball, college football, they earn millions of dollars a year. And what do these students get in compensation? What do they get? And some of these students at these schools, and number one, they should get financially compensated for the work that they do. Number one. Number two, they should also have a union. At the very least. It does not make any sense for them to be making these, for these schools to be bringing in millions of dollars. Millions. And these students have to still have a job on top of their school, on top of going to these, you know, these games, as well as going, you know, having to go to practice on top of that as well. That doesn't make sense to me. So look, if you are a student and you're, let's say you do swimming, right? Now, swimming probably doesn't make as much, but you should at least get a stipend, right? Based on the ticket sales that they sell for swim meets, right? I mean, I don't think that is too much to ask. Why are students having to, they're basically working for free, right? Are you going to give every single student who plays a full ride? I know they all don't have full rides, right? It just doesn't make sense to me, right? Hell, I'll even extend it to the people who are in the marching bands. Them too. Marching bands too. They're literally playing for free. Like, no, pay them. Make it a trend. I mean, these college coaches, they get millions of dollars a year. These college football coaches get millions of dollars a year in wages and salaries. These college basketball coaches, millions of dollars. And yet they can't pay the students? Now that ain't right. Why, you know, I'm just saying, it just doesn't make sense to me. Oh, I hope you feel better. Wishing you a speedy and easy recovery, FX. That's no bueno. Man. Imper99 says Harvard told grad students to get food stamps. The hell? Harvard told. I'm going to run out of water before the end of this stream. God, I wish this was alcohol. They told them what? Get food stamps. Make a brother want to cuss somebody out. Cobra Commander says, when I was younger, I thought getting 1099 was so cool. While my boss is paying me cash under the table without taxes. I'm so lucky I get more money. Yeah. Crazy. Zoe says, arts and performing arts students as well. Thank you. You know, you get those performing arts students who will be performing shows, and they and people pay tickets to go see those shows. Like, especially during Christmas, you'll have them at some school of performing arts, like Juilliard or something like that, and they're performing the Nutcracker. They had to pay to get in. That's not free. Now, maybe this is just me and my crazy social brain, but I would extend that to high school. And people be like, well, high schools don't have enough money as it is. And that's when I say, that's why we need to pay schools across the board. The schools that are the most underperforming and the ones that are in the hoods need to be brought up to the same standards. And by standards, I mean the standards of the buildings, the standards of their computer labs, the standards of their classrooms, the standards of their teachers' pay, the standards, all these different standards that actually make a school higher quality. We need to take a bulk of that money, start influxing it so that these schools all come up to this equal. Then guess what? Then you start paying all the schools the same amount based on per student. So if you're paying $4,000 per student in a really nice area, then you pay $4,000 per student in a really nice school too. I'm sorry, in a school in the hood. To the point where all the students get the same education, the same value of education, no matter what. And for God's sake, get rid of those charter schools. They're just draining our tax money. Put it into public schools. Make sure that all the teachers get a salary that takes the issue of money off the table. Teachers should not have to struggle. But yes, students, even at high schools, if you're in a high school football team, you should get some of that money. I said what I said. If you're doing work, if you're doing labor, you should get paid for it. That's how I feel. Am I crazy for that? Am I crazy for that? For even saying that kids, even in high school, who are on track and field, kids who are on the lacrosse team at high school or the baseball team at high school, even them, they should get paid. High school should not have to depend on their students in order to raise money like that. They should not have to depend on a high school football game and the ticket sales in order to put into the budget for school. If you're going to be paying for that, if you're going to be paying for tickets, then those tickets, that money should be going to the students. They should not have to raise money for uniforms. They should not have a bake sale or a car wash for new gear. Like, what the hell? What in the hell? That's just me, though. Right? Am I crazy for that? I just don't see why in the world we have to subject our students to working for free. Pisses me off, man. Samuel says, my grandpa is a huge Notre Dame football fan. You wouldn't believe the millions the head coach makes, way more than NFL head coaches. That's sick. Because you know some of these student athletes at these colleges, they have to work and go to school. And then on top of that, they also have to perform on the field or on the court. Or on the track? That should not be, man. It should not be. That's crazy. Number one, if you're a student, you should not have to work while being in school. It should not be an issue of being under duress. Look, all education, and people can call me a commie, whatever. You're just telling me what I am. Look, all education should be tuition free. Number one. Because education should be free, right? Number one. Number two, all students who work, whether it's performing at a sports event or working somehow in school as a assistant professor or something like that, they should get paid. And not just paid, but a living wage. Now, it's not going to be the same as, say, you know, an NFL or an NBA player. It's not going to be that much. No. But it should be a living wage. 20 Banana says, then when they get injured, everything gets pulled from you. Then you get sent right back to the hood and go back into the cycle. Yeah. And it's like, they were literally playing for you. So why should they have to suffer? And how much money did they make? Did they make off of that player until that player got injured? Yepper99 says coaches are basically the highest public employee, but the millions they get, money that could have gone elsewhere. Yeah. I don't mind college coaches making around the same what professors make. But to be making that much? Nah. Nah. Let's say a professor makes $150,000, $160,000 a year, right? I'm cool with that. I'm cool with a coach making that much. Because why are you a coach? Are you a coach for the money? Or are you a coach because you actually want to teach your students? If you're there just for the money, well. Sebastiano says, it's the American way, JB, unfortunately. Well, we need to change that way. That's my opinion. We need to change the American way and make the American way a more egalitarian, more equitable and equal way. And one thing I'm happy about is changing. It is. We have to make that change. Let me go to Rockfin really quick. Thanks for the tip, Roger. He says there are three different types of public ownership. The difference between publicly traded company and a publicly owned company is, and a co-op is, one, you own it because you own shares in it, but you don't work there. The other is public owned, but you don't. The other is publicly owned, but you can only own it if you work there, making you a stakeholder. And then there's owned by taxpayers, which means everyone owns it. Thank you so much for that, Roger. Roger continues, says, you should do more Florida stories. What's going on in the U.S. and the world is good, but don't neglect home. Hey, Trump started coming after your governor. Meatball Ron, on all those quick zingers us New Yorkers are known for. I already know about the affordability crisis, but when Trump hit him on rising crime rate in Florida, I didn't know that was true. Is it? Looks like New Yorkers not just taking jobs to Florida, but crime also. Ay-ay-ay. Meatball Ron. Thanks, man. Hey, Rory O'Neill, good to see you. All right. Thanks for the tip, Roger. He says, the only reason charter schools exist is due to trying to fix a broken system. Public schools are financed by property taxes, a regressive tax, which means there needs to be high home ownership in a district. Suburbs, high ownership. Cities, high renters who don't pay property tax. No charters in suburbs, but in cities. The federal government should be paying 90% minimum of all districts. States 10% make proportionate to need. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I agree. Because the thing is that, you know, all students should get the same. The same quality, just like we, you know, I think everybody deserves the same quality healthcare. I believe that every single student deserves the same quality education. It should not be, you know, students in one area get a better education than students in another area. It's usually typically based on zip code. And I think that that's absolutely wrong. I think it should be that all students get the same. And it and as well, students, the schools should tailor to the learning styles of different students as well. A lot of people don't talk about that. Tailor to their learning styles. Because one of my favorite quotes is from Albert Einstein, a socialist. Got to make sure I put that in there. His quote is, everyone is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life thinking that it's stupid. We have to get ourselves to a point where we teach according to the way someone learns so that they are able to grow and be the best version of themselves. If we cannot do that, then we are not teaching properly. There are some children who have different interests, just like we all have different interests. And some kids don't have that big of a propensity for math. But when it comes to history, oh, they're on it. Or when it comes to science, they're on it. Or when it comes to art, they're on it. And so tailoring that to them means that you're actually doing better for humans as a whole. So that's me on my soapbox. Thanks for the other tip, Rogers. Rogers says, screw American college study in the 39 countries that allows you to study for free. Yeah, Denmark and others actually pay you. Now, if you want to stay here, well, I suggest North Dakota. Their public bank allows for low interest student loans. And yeah, so I saw that you were talking about this as well in Savvy. She did a student debt panel on Sunday, and she was also talking about if you are a student and you want to go to college, if you can go study abroad. I'll put it this way, and I wanted to say this in the comment in the chat during that time, that time when I was watching, but it is literally cheaper for you to get room and board and fly out to one of these countries and get your college degree there. Because number one, your degree will be free. All you got to do is pay for room and board, which is cheaper than actually having to pay for school here. So why not? Like, if you look, if you can go to, let's say, Germany or Denmark for 4 years and go to their university and get a degree while you're there, hasta la vista, ciao, sayonara, see you in 4 years, baby. Go get that education and come back. Why not? Right? And I love the part where you say, now if you want to stay here, go to North Dakota. Their public bank allows for low interest loans. And this is also a great point about public banks, because public banks can also allow for more low interest loans here if we go statewide for public banks. Like, for instance, I'm in Florida. What if Florida had a public bank and it allowed for lower interest loans, student loans at, you know, UCF or FSU or Florida A&M? Like, what if, at the very least, now, I think they should be tuition free, but that's just me. But, I mean, that's something, right? All right, so I'll be going on my next story. And this one is a story that it's a good story. It's nothing that's going to be negative, but I think this is a good way to give more ideas for different types of mutual aid. And this goes into the next story, mutual aid ideas. So what is this? And I'm going to go into it. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I could play the video. I could. The problem is that it's through a CBS affiliate, and CBS copyright claims any video that's played on somebody else's channel. So I want to play it. I want to play the local news channel, but I can't because they're a CBS affiliate. And so if I do it, this stream will get demonetized. And I hate that. Yeah. So unfortunately, I can't afford to play it. But I can read the article, but you guys won't get a video. Sorry. So let me grab this for you guys. Gosh, you guys are funny. All right, so let me enlarge this. All right, it says volunteers open neighborhood fridge in Orlando to fight food insecurity. You see, Roger, I already had a local story prepared. Oh, goodness. I love how we're so in sync. Wonder Twins, activate! All right. So it says neighborhood fridge located behind Lodgemat on Edgewater Drive. Edgewater's not that far from me. So it says local volunteers just opened a neighborhood fridge in Orlando in effort to combat food insecurity. The founder, Catherine Franco, says she has wanted to do this for years and is excited that her longtime idea has been executed. The community launch was so great. It made me happy and it made me feel like I want to keep doing this work. It is located right behind the laundromat in the shopping plaza on Edgewater Drive. John Nelson and his family own the laundromat and agreed to host the neighborhood fridge. By the way, just to let you guys know, if you are a business owner and you have a place where something like this can exist right near your establishment, why not, right? I think this is a great idea. Let's say you are a business owner and you have like some place like this, you know, let's say you have a shop, right? You can build something like this, or hell, you can do like a community library, right? And put books in there, or just have a community piano and have the bridge. Like, let's say, you know, you want something that, you know, you don't necessarily have to pay too much out as far as electricity, but you can have a community pantry, you know, something like that. I think that's a great idea. Let's continue. Nelson says, we need to try and give back as much as we can and not just think about ourselves. Inside the fridge is a range of donated healthy food and drink options. On the side, the shelf was stocked with canned goods, dry foods, educational materials, and contraceptives. Welcome to Florida. Yes. Says the Florida Access Network donated money in dozens of Plan B one-step boxes, which usually cost about $50 in stores. All hands were on deck for this project, including those of Emmanuel Lewis, who built the shed from the ground up. Lewis was in awe of the finished product. Lewis left the painting to Tyler Howell and five other artists who brought the woodshed to life. Says Howell learned about the opportunity through a queer arts collective in Orlando. He says art is something that can be viewed and appreciated and consumed what their social existence is. So this is also something that you do. If you are to art, you can also contribute to help, because the thing is that we receive art as well, whether it's music, painting, sculptures, poems, whether it's through photography, different ways that you can contribute to society, right? You can also do artistic mutual aid, right? Just to help people out. Have you ever thought about that? I'll put Jesse Jett on from Indie News Network on this Saturday, and he does his art through music as well. He's an activist and a music artist. So could you guys, you know, if you're, you know, good at doing things like that, could you also help in that way? There's many different ways to contribute to your community around you. Whether it's housing or personal items or groceries, the resounding message in Central Florida is that the prices are just too high. Damn straight. Franco wants to take the burden off families whose budgets have been busted and help the unhoused people who are searching for their next meal. The whole concept, quote, the whole concept of the project is to fight for food justice in the sense that we're bringing the resource to the community that's going to be there every day. The team still needs the community's help with donations, and they give the list of things that are allowed: fresh produce, bread and pastries, sealed beverages, milk and eggs, prepackaged meals, fresh fruits, canned food, dry foods, hot products, diapers. So they just, the things that they don't allow are alcohol, medication, raw meat and fish, unlabeled or expired food items, raw moldy food, open food containers, damaged food items, large, small food platters, clothing donations, and homemade food. So I know that you want to make a mac and cheese, right? But no. Go to a different foundation where they serve prepared meals and then donate your mac and cheese there. But at things like this, then, you know, you have your already packaged foods, right? So do that. You know, there may be some people out there that, you know, want to make themselves some beans and rice. So buy a bag of beans and buy a bag of rice, put it in the pantry and let them prepare it themselves. And if you want to cook those beans and rice and serve it, well, then there are other, you know, people like Food Not Bombs, I think they do things like that. So then if you want to prepare it and then serve it, you do it that way. By the way, I'm going to taste your beans and rice, by the way. Beans and rice are really good. So I just think that it is wonderful. And this is, I'm not going to play a video, but this is a photo of it. And so, yeah, I think this is great idea. And I would like to, you know, share some ideas for mutual aid that people can, you know, people can glean from, and they can adapt to their community. And there are, and this isn't the first one I've ever seen. There are many others that do this throughout the United States. And so when we talk about mutual aid, also, if you know of these foundations that are doing things like this, maybe you're not close by them and you can't get food, but you have a couple of bucks, maybe $5 here, you can contribute to them so that they can be able to continue this work, right? And there are other, you know, means that you can also, like, for instance, are you good with computers? Can you help your products? Do you do pairs for computers and electronic items? Do you know somebody that needs a phone? Do you know somebody that needs a tablet? Do you know that needs somebody that needs a laptop? These are some of the things that you guys can think about in order to help the people in your area. Do you know, for instance, and this is something that I want to do, but do you know, you know, the housing situation, how to maneuver it, especially for people who are low income? Can you help people with applying for housing, things like that? Can you, oh, here's another idea. At least donating for somebody's application fee so they can apply for apartments. I'm just spitballing ideas. But the thing is that we all can help one another in many different ways. Give people rides, watch people's kids, watch people's elderly parents, or somebody that is that they have that special needs. Maybe they have an adult special needs kid or sibling, and that person just needs a break for a few hours. Could you watch that person who's special needs for them? Attend to them. There's so many different things that you can think of. And I think that's one of the things that is necessary for us as a community to really bring ourselves together. You know, somebody needs their grass cut. Somebody needs a haircut. Do you know how to do nails? Maybe you know somebody that needs another full set done. Maybe they're applying for a job. Maybe they need nails done so they can look good for when they're applying for that job. So I want to put that out there. And if you guys, you know, think of something to do, even if it's just something nice for somebody by saying some kind words, hey, tag me and let me know. Here's my thing. And this is something I tell people all the time. This is something I tell my friends. Tell me your good news so I can celebrate with you. I'm going to repeat myself. Tell me your good news so I can celebrate with you. When you do for others, you're doing for me. When you do for others, you're doing for yourself. Because we are all connected. We're all part of one big family. All of us. So as you do for others, you're helping me, baby. And that's the part. That's the point. Extra Booyah, Uncle Warren is in the chat. Good to see you. All right. Didn't get to see you there. I saw you. I just saw you in the chat. Yepex says, as someone who goes to food pantries, they are not all equal. Most of them only have unhealthy options. Nothing for those with strict dietary restrictions. This is a good point. Somebody who's disabled, I also have some dietary restrictions. And so I think, you know, if you know of people who have dietary restrictions, include some of that in your donations as well. Extra Booyah says, beans, the wonderful fruit. Oh, man. One of my favorite was when my mom taught me this. She said, beans, they're good for your heart. The more you eat them, the more you fart. The more you fart, the better you feel. So eat your beans with every meal. Freddie says, girl, I pay for people's gas when I see they're paying less than $10. They need the money more than me. Oh, that's a great idea, too. Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, so last year when Rome was here, we were doing, you know, tour for the poor here in Orlando. One of the things that we did was we did a gas run. We called it a gas run. And so every person came in, $5, put $5 in the tank, put $5 on the tank, put $5 on the tank. And then there were people where we would go, put $5 on the tank. They'd be like, no, I don't need it. And then they would come in and hand us a 20. Go, keep doing what you're doing. And Rome was like, damn, I want to get, you know, I'm tired. I need to go home, but I got to give this to somebody. And so that's what some of the things that we were doing. And I, you know, appreciate that. So that is a great idea, too. So, you know, if you got, you know, a few extra dollars, you know, if you're at the gas station, you see somebody, they only putting in $2.50, you know, they only got some change in there. You'd be like, hey. Put another $10 on there just so that they can have some fuel to get to where they need to go. All right. That's a great, thank you so much for that, Freddie. I appreciate that. Yeah. For some reason, my internet is just not, it's been shoddy. I need better internet. I need something, but I can't afford better internet right now, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah. That's the way it is. That's the way the Fig Newton crumbles. All right, let's go here. To the rock. All right. Roger Meadows, thank you so much. Roger, wait, hang on. Let me see. Is this thing big enough? Okay, good. Roger says, love Einstein reference. Thank you. Sometimes it's not about intelligence, but motivation. Ooh, bars, Roger. Roger continues, says, I was always a tech electronic person by heart. I remember my junior year of high school, I was failing all my classes with failing grades in all my classes. My guidance counselor had to call my parents up to the school with each of my teachers sitting outside her office waiting to speak. All with terrible news, but when it was time for my electronic teacher, Mr. Wondrash, time to meet with them, he couldn't stop talking about how great of a student I was, showing my parents grades I was getting in the 90s, with 90 being the lowest. Damn, Roger! I need to have a conference with you to talk about how to work some of these electronics. He says, they were like, what? They were like, okay, I know you hate those other classes, but we got to do things that we don't like. I was like, fine. I just made sure I got at least a passing grade. Yeah. So it's just like, for instance, you have some students that are really good with language, but they're bad with math. And so they do good in English, you know? And so it's like, okay, you know, just get, you know, passing in what you can in math and in science and excel like hell if you can in your English classes, you know? Roger, he said beans are legumes which grow in pods of nuts and seeds. Yes. Yes. I actually have to be careful with how many beans I can eat being a dialysis patient. You know, I had to deal with phosphorus and stuff like that, so I got to be careful. But thank you so much for that. Freddie says you can still get a discount of internet if you're low income. I get 300 megabits for free unless I choose to use the credit for my phone. Is that a state thing or is that a federal thing? Because I don't know. I have to check on that. Because they have something for your phone, but I've never seen anything for internet. But I don't know. I'll see. YepX says, speaking of what Roger said about intelligence, IQ doesn't equate wisdom or insight. In my opinion, sometimes a high IQ just means you are able to memorize and repeat back what you were told to believe. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think I set out the paper. I think they said I had an IQ of 94. Something like that, yeah. I had an IQ test done a few years back, and they said my IQ, I think, was 94, which means I'm just average or slightly below average. But hey, that's just the way it goes. So, yeah, I just, you know, two things, you know, solidarity with the students at Stanford. And if you know some students that are trying to unionize, then maybe you can give some mutual aid to them. Help them out. Oh, if you have the books for their classes. Now, they will need those books. Oh gosh. So this is something I learned and it really grinds my gears. It just, God. So a lot of students, they'll be required to purchase particular books for their class. But the difference between the last year's edition and this year's edition is very little. But they make it so that you have to pay for those books in order to continue the class, to actually be in the class. So you have to get those books, which to me is complete and utter BS. So my thing is like, if you have access, to those books, and you can get them to them for free, baby, help them students out. Please. Because you know, you and I both know they can't afford it. And they charge astronomical prices for these books. And it's completely unnecessary. So that's some mutual aid you can do there, right there too, for the students. Just saying. Yepex says, can we send books to Rome's library for mutual aid? Yes, you can. Rome is going to put that out there when he's ready to start receiving things like that. Books, laptops, what else? Different things. You know, honestly, if you guys know of somebody that can send a projector, like one of those like projectors, like those like 4K projectors, so that they can use the wall, you know, to project instead of just buying a TV, because those projectors, you know, can get kind of big, you know, when you, the further back that you, you know, project it. I think that'd be a great idea, by the way, just saying. And then maybe they can put a big, huge sheet outside and have a movie night or something like that. But anyways, I'm just tossing ideas out there, you know. Yes, Yepex. Sometimes book publishers will change one sentence or a page and then charge you full price. It's a huge scam. Yes, that's what they do. Freddie says, the book thing, you're completely right. I've read through them. Wow. Cobra Commander says, went to community college for a minute and LOL, the books were crazy. You had to buy them, and then there is a black market for students selling books versus selling them back to the school. Woo, wow. Yeah. So these are just some ideas that I had. And if you guys have any more ideas, shoot. You know, tell me on Twitter, and I'll retweet the ideas, you know, for people. You know, just put in the hashtag mutual aid idea. Right? Actually, let me put this there. So if you guys have any mutual aid ideas, right, then just put hashtag mutual aid idea, right? And then, you know, tag me and then I'll retweet it. You know, so that we can help people to, you know, glean some ideas of what to do for their neighborhood, for their community, so that people can do better. You know what I mean? That, you know, y'all can do that, right? So. Anywho. All right, everybody. I'm going to head out. I got some things to do. Also, I'll be on RBN Live. And we are going to have one of the guys from United from East Palestine. You know, Alex, he was on here about a week ago on my channel. But we're going to also have him on RBN. We're going to be talking about what United from East Palestine is doing. Plus, look, this whole thing with AOC having a burner account is blowing up. We're going to be talking about that. That's going to be funny as hell to talk about. And you got people that are trying to say, oh, it's not true, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, even if it was true, why are you guys tripping over it? Like, a lot of people have burner accounts. It's not that big of a deal. Let's talk about the votes that people who are in the squad in the Progressive Caucus have cast. Because some people don't seem to have much of an outrage over that, but they seem to have an outrage over somebody pointing out that she had a burner account. What? Priorities, people, priorities. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Zsa Zsa. And then we're going to talk about some other news stories on there too as well. And tonight I'm going to be, it's going to be late. So if you guys are night owls, okay, great, join. But I will be on with Misty Winston on her radio show at 11 p.m. this evening. Whew, Lord. I'm going to have to pray for myself because I usually am in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm getting old, y'all. Good Lord. The only reason why I'm doing this is because it's Misty. Anybody else, I wouldn't be doing it. I don't want to. But, yeah. Eastern. Yes, E. Heller. Good to see you, by the way. Eastern. Hey, whatever, man. But yeah, so 11 p.m. Eastern tonight, I will be on with Misty Winston, also known as Comrade Misty. That's going to be an interesting conversation. I love having our conversations. She's always a great person to talk to. But it's going to be at 11 p.m. Oh, no. Ooh, and I got an event to go to tonight right after RBN Live. Oh, my God. I'm going to be so tired. By the time I get home, it'll be 9 o'clock. And then I won't have enough time to take a nap. And I haven't eaten yet. I had a smoothie this morning. That's it. Good Lord. Anywho. I'm not complaining. I'm just preparing myself. All right, everybody. So I know I'm a little bit slow on getting these readings out. It's just I've been busy. Look, Asada Shakur's autobiography, I'm going to get into. I'm going to try to get into that on Thursday. I'm going to try to get that out to you guys by Thursday. And on top of that, I'll be continuing the reading of Laziness Does Not Exist by Dr. Devon Price. I'm going to be finishing that. I started it, and I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish. All right. I'm going to finish. Not like that 1 minute, man. Break me up. Show me what you got. But I don't want no 1 minute, man. Ooh. Let me get going. Oh, Lord. Let me check Ruffin real quick before I go, because I don't want to make sure. Okay. I think we're good. All right. We are golden. We're golden like a goose egg, baby. All right. So, like I always tell you, all right, water your plants, water yourselves, leave the world better than you found it. Oh, smoke them if you got them, drink them if you don't got them. Then guess what? Watch something funny, because laughter and joy is revolutionary. And by the way, mwah, forehead kisses to every single one of you. You know I love you. You know I love you, 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 and you. Love you. Bye.